The passage that we are considering contains the record of King Amaziah's reign. We understand that he succeeded his father Joash. And when he came to the throne, he endeavored to strengthen the defense of his kingdom, which was certainly a good and a commendable thing to do. He set about strengthening the armies of the nation and actually established an elite force that consisted of 300,000 men that could handle spear and shield. However, he felt that this wasn't sufficient. Being wise in his own eyes, leaning upon his own understanding, he sought to increase the army by introducing a further 100,000 auxiliary troops from the kingdom of Israel. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. This king, King Amaziah, he was certainly no enemy to religion, but neither warm nor cold, indifferent and unconcerned. Though Amaziah's obedience to the command of God was to his honor, he was more concerned about the material, that is, about the 100 talents and what he had given to the army of Israel, rather than the words that came from heaven itself, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." Oh, there is a lesson to us as the people of God, that a firm belief of God's all-sufficiency to bear us out in our duty and to make up all the loss and damage we sustain in His service will make His yoke very easy and His burden very light, because when we are called to part with anything for God, it should satisfy us that God, that the Lord is able to give us much more than this. And so, having shown you the context of the text, I want us to look at the text in view of Amaziah's spiritual need. That is his greatest need. And it wasn't the loss of 100 talents of silver, but it was the great danger of losing his soul. The great danger of losing your soul. You see, there are lessons to be learned from this king. This man Amaziah, for as scripture clearly sets forth, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." And so there is much for us to glean and learn from this man's life. Firstly, there was a defiance to the word of the Lord. We read in verse 2, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart." It's hard to see how the first part of this assessment, that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, can apply to the whole of Amaziah's reign. We understand that this man defied the word of the Lord, that he didn't later on hearken on to God's counsel, that he didn't hearken on to the word of God, behaved with cruelty, a bloodthirsty man, and with arrogance, And so it is better to take this positive assessment only to describe Amaziah and his early years when he made a profession, an acknowledgement that he was going to do a work for the Lord. And yes, we live in a day when there are many who set out to do a work for the Lord. And they have a great spectacle to begin with. A great appearance to begin with. Just like the firework. Oh, they look spectacular. They look so spectacular. But they go out like a bang. And they simply show that they were not the Lord. You see, Amaziah declared that he was going to serve the Lord. He certainly did some things that were praiseworthy. For we find in verse 4 of chapter 25, verse 4, but he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. We also find in verse 10, he also did something that was praiseworthy. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. However, even from the very beginning, he was not wholehearted. And you see, God above all things, God above all things, calls above all things, is heart religion. And so, friend, you can be orthodox, but dead orthodoxy is absolutely nothing. Though he carried out these actions, even from the start, he was not wholehearted in his obedience, and this became increasingly obvious as the years passed. Idolatry and pride came to the fore in his actions. And so this encourages us to consider what lies behind the good actions of men and women. You see, by the common grace of God, by the common grace of God, men and women with ungodly hearts, can still perform actions that appear to be good and helpful. We all know of unconverted people who give money to good causes, who sacrifice time and effort to help others in need, or would even give us the very shirts from off their backs. We know of friends and family who are often kind but remain unregenerate. We find in 2 Kings chapter 10, in fact, even turn to it. 2 Kings chapter 10, we read here of Jehu and Israel and the blessing there was in removing the family of Ahab from power. Jehu was not a regenerate man. 2 Kings chapter 10 in the first 30. 2 Kings chapter 10 and the first 30. And we read the following. And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. And so we read here of Jehu in Israel and the blessing there was in removing the family of Ahab from power. And so the Lord said to Jehu, who was not a regenerate man, "Thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes." And so we speak of these actions as good works. As good works, because they bestow benefit upon mankind. And from our perspective, they are most certainly beneficial. However, their outward form does not make them good in God's eyes, still less they are meritorious or able to win His favor. And so as our confession of faith states concerning good works, works done by unregenerate men, although for the matter of them, they may be things which God commands, and of a good use both to themselves and others, yet because they proceed not from a heart purified by faith, nor are done in a right manner according to the word, nor to a right end, to the glory of God, they are therefore sinful and cannot please God or make a man meet to receive grace from God. And therefore, when unregenerate men, unsaved men, unconverted men rely, depend, rest upon their good works to earn a good standing before God, they only add insult to their offense to God. And so it is only when we become convicted of our sins, when God shows us ourselves to ourselves, we discover we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And so we learn from this king. We learn from this man, Amaziah, and so as are all men. They are in a state of nature unclean. For man was made pure and holy, but by willfully sinning became impure. And this impurity is propagated, passed on by natural generation, and none are free from it. And there is no cleansing from it, but by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. All this was true of Amaziah, because God's verdict upon his good works, verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, listen, but not with a perfect heart. But not with a perfect heart. Or to translate it in the Hebrew text, in the original given language, that is the Hebrew text, literally, not from a heart at peace. Not from a heart at peace. You see, Amaziah was not reconciled to God. as his Redeemer. And as a result of not being at peace with God, he was not even at peace with himself. You see, friend, it is God's righteousness and peace that are brought together. And so a man without God's righteousness is a man without peace. God saw his heart, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart, not with a perfect standing, not with a perfect righteousness. Standing cut off, without peace, without a righteousness. Is this your description? God saw his heart, the true root of the matter, and so he rejected the righteousness of God. Amaziah, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. He is able to forgive sins. He is able to give you a right standing before God. Man, woman, boy, or girl, he's able to deliver thee. He's able to save thee. He's able to clothe ye and put ye in your right mind, both able and willing to save to the uttermost all that believe in him. Oh, a mere external show of religion. A mere show of external religion is not enough. That the labors of your hands cannot fulfill the law's demands. Or pretending great devotion and holiness, being outwardly religious before men, having a mask of Christianity and a visor of godliness, a plan of doctrine, a form of sound words, a scheme of truths that men may have without partaking of the grace of God. And therefore we must not think that reforming our lives, that merely turning over a new leaf, will save us without trusting in the righteousness and grace of Christ, or that trusting in Christ will save us without the reformation of our hearts and lives. Amaziah had rejected the righteousness of God. Here's the mindset. Here's the mindset. Here's the spiritual lesson. The lesson of all lessons. You could be religious. You could be religious and yet know not the righteousness of God. It cannot be obtained by the baptismal tank. It cannot be obtained sitting at the Lord's table, seeking to establish your own righteousness by your own doings, by your own works. For without the righteousness of Christ, we all surely perish. Without the righteousness of Christ, we all surely perish. Friend, heaven's door is shut without it. Paul the Apostle. Oh, he was religious. And God smote him, saved him, transformed him. And didn't he pray for the religious of his day? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, which is none other than the righteousness of Christ, and which Amaziah knew nothing of, because he was not at peace with God, and thus was in danger of losing his soul. You see, whoever is acquainted with the nature of mankind in general, or the inclination of his own heart in particular, must acknowledge that self-righteousness is the last idol that is rooted out of the heart. Being once born under a covenant of work, it is natural for us all to have a turning to a covenant of works for our everlasting salvation. And so we have contracted such a devilish pride by our fall from God that we would, if not wholly, yet in part at least, glory in being the cause of our own salvation. And so we cry out against popery. And popery without the Pope. And justly so. And as George Whitefield said, but we are all papists, at least I am sure. We are all Arminians by nature. And therefore no wonder so many natural men embrace that scheme. Are you rejecting the righteousness of God? Rejecting all that is done by way of the finished work of Jesus Christ, depending on your own works, resting on your church attendance, depending, like Amaziah, on your works, or on your silver, or on your gold, or on that which ye have done. Remember Simon. Oh, turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Remember Simon. Here we have another lesson recorded in Scripture. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And breaking in at the first 18. Acts chapter 8. And the first 18. And what do we read? We read this. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, And pray, God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Then let such observe how near they come to his sin, who seek to obtain the grace of justification and the free gift of eternal life by their own money, by their own works. For as long as men lie under the curse of the law, they cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so all who seek to be justified, declared righteous by keeping the law, remain under the sentence of death and cannot receive the life-giving Spirit of God. There is the real evil. There is the real evil of every religion, of a righteousness by works. It condemns men to God's curse and excludes them from the glorious work of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, that leads men to Christ. And so every religious system that rejects the truth of justification by faith alone in the merits of Christ alone are the instruments of death. Listen, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Therefore, flee from every form. Flee from every form of a works righteousness to Christ. And in him alone can you find life in the Spirit, because he alone has purchased redemption from the curse of the law, because God has given all that we need. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. It's not what sinners do for themselves. It is what God is able to do for you. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And finally, there was a despising of the sufficiency of the Lord. A despising of the sufficiency of the Lord. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Now do you see the flow? Began with a defiance of God's word, a rejection of God's righteousness, and now a despising of the sufficiency of the Lord. Amaziah was taken up with what he had done, what he had given to the army of Israel. He was more concerned about his 100 talents than the eternal well-being of his soul, rather than what the Lord was able to give much more than this. He was destroyed. We read it in verse 16. And my friend, it is not annihilation. He was cut off. And God will never destroy one of his blood-bought children. Amaziah was cut off. We read it in the latter of verse 16. Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Verse 16, the latter of that verse. Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel, hast not taken heed to God's word, has refused him that speaketh from heaven. He despised the sufficiency of the Lord. Now, are you guilty of despising the sufficiency of the Lord? Of all that he has accomplished, of all that he has done, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for the work of redemption, to save a people from their sins. Of all that he has accomplished and done, 33 years lived a perfect life, rendered perfect obedience to the law. A law that you and I have broken innumerable times. The one who did always those things which pleased his Father. The one who died for sinners such as you and I. This was his undertaking. For he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. For he that is the Father hath made him that is the Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Guilty of despising the sacrificial death of Christ. Guilty of despising the blood of the covenant by which the new covenant between God and man was ratified, sealed, and confirmed. And counting this insufficient, invaluable, unholy, or common, which intimates that men expect nothing from it in a sacrificial or atoning way. Oh, how near to those persons, and how near to their destruction, do they come in this present day, who despise the atoning blood, and say that they expect nothing from it, no more benefit from the blood of Christ than the blood of a mere animal. Friend, the blood provides life. It provides redemption. It provides justification, a right standing before God, restoration, boldness, sanctification. It provides peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the blood of a divinely appointed victim sent by his Father, because the Father ordained him. And the blood is well pleasing to the Father. And such is the sufficiency. Such is the value of the blood of God's dear Son. He was God, of very God. Christ died, and God accepted the blood of Christ. And therefore, sinner, he cannot reject the sinner who pleads that blood. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so God is satisfied with all who rest upon that sacrifice. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground, any other ground, is sinking sand. Do not defy God's word. Do not reject his righteousness. Do not despise the sufficiency of all that he has accomplished and all that he has done. Friend, the Lord is able to deliver thee. The Lord is able to do for sinners what they cannot do for themselves. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Oh, you've come into the house of God unjust. Just like the publican. And yet you can go home just. Come the blood sprinkled way. And cry out just like that man, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord, conscious that we're still in his presence. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can only call thee our Father because of that indissoluble union with our Saviour and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask of thee that you'll take that which has been of thyself. We ask of thee that you'll apply it to hearts savingly. We ask of thee that all that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in thy sight. Bring that truth to bear upon the soul. The great truth, the great danger of losing a soul. God, move in mighty power and do that which only thou can do, and we will be careful to give thee all the praise and glory For it's in Christ's precious name we ask it. Amen.